Okay, we'll go ahead and call the regular meeting of the Los Osos Community Service District Board of Directors to order. First thing is the flag salute.
Chuck, we'll let you do it today.
I think I've got this one. I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God,
indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Sorry, we've got the delay here. Yeah, I don't need that. Well, throwing them, it's a waste of water. Or paper. Thank you. Okay, so with that being said, we'll go ahead and get a roll call, please.
Director Sesenia.
Here.
Director Forcroy.
Here.
Director Gatchell.
Here.
Vice President Womack.
Present.
President Ohilski.
Present. We're the only two that say present. Now we're back to back. So. All right. Item two on the agenda is the public safety reports. The first item is item 2A, the fire department report.
All right. Good evening. It's been pretty active for us and running all over the state and running all over the county. So I was able to get some adjustments made to the statistical report, so hopefully that's a little bit better suits the needs, and we can continue to adjust from there. But for the reporting period, we had a couple vegetation fires, just some small encampment type fires, no vehicle fires. We had two structure fires. One was an actual fire. It was over on the Knight Street area, just a room and contents fire. Displaced the residents for a couple days. Insurance company got to take care of that. The other was just some burnt food on the stove. Some other fire types, debris fires and dumpster fires, that type of thing. 134 medical aids overall. We have some split out resources because the frontline engine and the reserve engine were being used this month, so that's why those are split out. Just one vehicle accident in the area, a couple hazardous calls, 23 public assists, which is pretty normal for us. A couple rescues. These were some NVO type calls and a boat response. So the add that I've made to the statistical report, I'm hoping this will kind of clarify some things. So the CSA 9I zone is the area that you receive funds from the county for the district engine to go run calls out there. So I've included them in the statistical report now, separated them out. And so we're basically looking from right about Lariat out to roughly Turry Road. It's kind of the sliver of land that encompasses. And then we've included MDO on there now as well. And then I did a year-to-date below that. So year-to-date, we've gone out to the 9I area 47 times and out to MDO 26 times. We've got our aid given to other agencies. So we went and helped Morro Bay once in the county area. We went and helped four times. There are some anomalies on the year-to-date. So the five cities, which is the FIV, the PSM, which is Pismo Beach, and those are anomalies. What we track those down was to misinput of information. So they remove the resource off the call, but it still generates them in the statistics. So they didn't actually go to five cities or Pismo Beach. We went and helped Morro Bay seven times, the county area 57 times, and we helped the state 18 times in their area. We received aid from Morro Bay twice, from the county 14 times, from the city of San Luis twice. That's typically going to be on our structure fires. They're coming in on our alarm plan. And Cal Fire five times. Received some assistance from CMC, Fire Department, Morro Bay. The OES is another anomaly. Pismo Beach is as well. The county came in and helped us 38 times. Cal Fire Slow City rather six times came in, and Cal Fire came in 32 times. Templeton's was back from when we had the floods or the rains this winter. We and they were in helping us spreading the assistance throughout. Calls are kind of on pace. We're down a little bit in the month of September. We only had 99 calls. So I guess everybody's healthy living and driving safe and not having fires. So that's end of report I have for the statistics. If you have any questions about the statistics or comments, adds, adjustments that you need, let me know. Hoping that's kind of going the right direction with the MDO stuff and the 9i stuff. I know we've been talking about it for a while. It's just a matter of getting me and the statistician in the same room together. It was a little more difficult than we initially thought, just trying to deal with computers and programming and all that kind of stuff. But I think we kind of got a little bit closer to what you're probably looking for.
Yeah, I remember that. I mean, MDO has a bunch of different, if you look at the call log, it's a bunch of different addresses.
Yep.
Intersections and trailheads.
Yep.
Is this addressing your concern, at least starting to?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, great.
Yeah, so what I did to create those areas, we have these atoms, we call them atoms, and they're basically response areas, and there's a alphanumeric associated with a number that gives that response area. So the atom that's associated with MDO and then the sand spit, I combine those together, and then the two atoms that encompass the 9i area, based off of what the county has drawn as the lines, we use those two atoms to do that. And so it basically sandwiches Lariat and Turie.
Okay. So yeah, no, I think that's perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, I like saying it like that.
Okay, great. Yeah, we continue to make adjustments as needed. Like I said, some of these things, we have a lot of folks training in our command center right now, so we're going to see little statistical anomalies pop up where they're putting test calls in and folks are learning. So right now, probably next month, we'll have a report. You guys already put it in your budget, but the labor negotiations with the state and the Cal Fire employees, Local 2881, they have put together a proposal to us. It's out for ratification right now, so probably by the next board meeting, we'll have information for you on that. You've already been advised, Ron's already been advised on all those numbers and the impacts, and it's already been budgeted for. So it shouldn't be much of an impact other than us actually enacting it. And we won't be enacted for the full year. It'll be starting November 1st. If it's blessed, the biggest probably change will be addition of one additional person at station 15 in order to meet the new schedule. So hopefully we'll have more on that next month.
Thank you. Okay. Any other question?
All right.
No, thank you very, very much.
All right, take it easy.
Okay, and next item on the agenda to be Sheriff Department's report.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board, staff, members of the public. I'm Stuart MacDonald from the Sheriff's Office. Deputies that work in Los Osos in the month of September responded to two assault and battery calls. One of those was a battery report. The other was actually a domestic violence related call, but it was determined to be unfounded, which was good news. There were 28 disturbance calls, which included 20 general disturbances, 3 family disputes, 2 loud music complaints, 2 fireworks calls, and 1 neighbor dispute. We had 2 burglary reports. They actually both were reports of burglaries in progress that came into us. And both of those were at residences, and they were both unfounded. So there were no actual burglaries for the month. There were 5 thefts. All of those were petty thefts, which means the value of loss was under $950. There were 3 vandalisms reported. 2 of those were damaged to vehicles, and 1 was damaged to a residence. There were 3 mail thefts reported to us, but all 3 were associated with 1 event. It appears that somebody came through Los Osos on the evening of September 14th and hit a number of mailboxes in the I want to say between the 1200 and 1600 block of like 14th and 12th. So kind of over in that neighborhood. And I'm certain that other mailboxes were victimized and we just didn't hear from those homeowners. But that all happened on the evening of the 14th. There were no phone scams reported. There were 22 suspicious circumstance calls, which was 10 suspicious persons calls, 10 suspicious suspicious persons, 8 suspicious circumstances, and 4 suspicious vehicles. And the deputies working in Los Osos conducted 65 enforcement stops, which included 60 vehicle stops, 3 pedestrian stops, and 2 bicycle stops, and engaged in 36 preventative patrol activities, which included 19 on-site activities, 9 patrol checks, 6 parked vehicle checks, and 2 extra patrols. And that concludes my report. I'm available for any questions or concerns.
All right. Thank you. Do we have any questions from the board? No, thank you very, very much for your report.
All right. Thank you. Have a good evening.
All right. Do we have a highway?
We do okay. have a highway
number
patrol.
2C is the California Highway Patrol report. I guess that will be online. Okay. Thank you.
All yes, right. Good evening. Lieutenant Tim Santoro with the Highway Patrol. How's everybody doing this evening? Just to echo the sentiment of the fire department that the traffic was down, that's the calls were down. We investigated 2 traffic collisions this last month. One of them was a felony hit and run, kind of on the minor side of that. It was an electric scooter versus a vehicle on Santa Ynez and 9th. It was a felony because there was injury, but it was a very minor injury. There was a scrape to the knee of the rider on the electric scooter. And it wasn't even reported until about 8 hours later. So it wasn't a major thing, but we are still actively looking for that. And then we did have 1 solo vehicle DUI crash where the driver was arrested. And that was out on South Bay. But pretty much a pretty quiet month for us out there in the Los Osos area. So anybody have any questions for me?
Any questions? No. All right. Thank you very, very much for your report. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right. With that, then, Ron and Laura, we'll move on to general action items. The first one is 3A.
Yeah. Can I take public comment on agenda
item? Oh, sorry. My mistake.
No problem. If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium.
I've got nobody here, Laura.
There's none online.
Okay. I'm sorry. My fault. Okay, we'll move on to 3A, general action items. First item is 3A, review applications of interest for the board's 2 open seats and make recommended appointments to the Board of Supervisor. Make recommendation to the Board of Supervisors for appointment and direct staff to forward recommendations to the Board of Supervisors. That being said, I'll turn it over to Ron.
Okay, just have a real quick presentation and then we'll frame up how the discussion will go tonight. If you recall, back on September 5th, the board was presented with the timeline and process for accepting applications for consideration by the Board of Supervisors, and that was reviewed by the board. Our filing period for applications was until September 25th at 4 p.m. 6 applications were received, 3 for each division, Division 3 and Division 5. Fortunate to have, as I said, 3 applicants, Tom Cross, Jeff Edwards, and Julie Tacker in District 3. In District 5, we have David Cheney, Richard Hubbard, and Patrick McGibney. In terms of what we're recommending tonight is that, of course, the board review and discuss the attached applications of interest. If the applicants are present and interested, it's not required to provide up to a 3-minute introduction of themselves. The board would have an opportunity to ask any questions that you might have. We will, of course, receive public comment. And then the board will vote by ballot with the results announced by myself and will detail who voted on what. And with that, we will circle back. We want to have a motion for both districts so we have something a formal action by the board that we can forward on to the clerk recorder's office. So with that, I'll turn it back over to the board.
Okay, does anybody have any questions of Ron before we start? Okay, Ron, I guess we're ready to go then.
Okay. If you'd like, we I know we do have several of the applicants in the room. We could start with...
So we're going to start with District 3 applicants first, which we have three, Tom Cross, Jeff Edwards, and Juliana Tacker. So all three of them are here, so...
Then I'd suggest you can invite them up maybe in the order that we had them on the...
Yeah, that's alphabetical.
That's alphabetical.
I was going to say telegraphical. I don't know where that came from. Yeah, so we'll do that. So do you guys need any time to get prepared? Are you ready to go? Okay, then we'll start with Mr. Cross, please.
Hello. I'm Tom Cross, active community member.
Can you stand closer to the microphone, please? Thank you so much. Sorry to interrupt.
Should
be
it's not
on.
No, it's not.
Hello.
There, now it's on.
Fantastic. I don't have to be as close. Hi, Tom Cross, active community member, consistent board member on the Los Osos Community Service District Active Transport Committee. I believe it's just the Transport Committee now. I was involved in a lot more. Last year, I had to take a step back due to health issues, but I'm slowly getting back involved in things. I realized the CSD had an open position. I decided I would throw my hat in them. Any questions, I suppose? Perfect. No. Thank
any
you very
question?
Much.
Any questions? Wait, Chuck?
How long have you lived in town, Tom?
Since 2020.
Okay. Oh, there it is. There it is. I just wanted to make sure that was in here. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So then next on the list would be Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I've been a longtime resident of Los Osos, and I did apply for the District 3 representative position. And my focus, if I were to be chosen, is on focusing the district's priorities. And as my brief comments included, I believe groundwater basin management is our number one function. And in fact, this district is the Baywood Park Water Company of old. And so as a water company, groundwater basin management, pursuit of the state water project, intertie, pursuing the closure of the FEMA reimbursements, and of course, solid waste and fire are principal services for the district. I think that there should be, again, the focus, and it'd be great if there's a way to give the drainage back to the county. I think that would be a something worth pursuing. And then Parks and Rec, the county also has a Parks and Rec department, and I wonder if that isn't, excuse me, duplicating services. Excuse me. So with that said, and given the totality of circumstances, I'd like to suggest to your board that you recommend to the Board of Supervisors Julie Tacker and Richard Hubbard. You may know that both of those individuals actually attempted to file during what we perceive to be the filing period for these seats. Speaking specifically to Mrs. Tacker, I can say as she's a 50-year plus long resident of Los Osos. She's been active locally in government for almost 30 years, been a past board member of serving a 4-year term. She's been on your Emergency Services Advisory Committee for 14 years between 03 and 17. She's a Brown Act expert, and she would have virtually no learning curve if selected. So again, I'd like to repeat my suggestion to recommend for your board to recommend Ms. Tacker and Mr. Hubbard. Thank you. I am available for questions if you have
them. Hold on. Did we have any questions for Mr. Edwards? No. Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Jeff? Okay, Ms. Tacker.
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I wanted to start by thanking Mr. Gatchell and Mr. Ohilski for their years of service to the district. I very much appreciate your time. It's pretty incredible how much time Marshall's put in over the years as he came in when I went off the board, and I do truly appreciate that. I'll say thank you to Mr. Edwards. I was not expecting that, so thank you for that encouragement. But I will say that I do agree that Mr. Hubbard and I did what the district website informed us and tried to apply during that extended period that there was none. So we wouldn't be here today if that had been accurate and those applications had been submitted and received. So here we are. I would ask that you would give us preference. But I also look at the future of the district and how with the implementation of the Los Osos Community Plan and the Habitat Conservation Plan and the long overdue physical improvements needed for the district, now's the time. And I have made difficult decisions for this district in the past, and I think that backbone can serve this district well. And again, I would ask you for that preference, that we followed the district's website recommendation, and that was not afforded to us. And I do feel disenfranchised, and I think you can fix that. Thank you.
Wait, Julie, hold on. Are there any questions?
More about the website and the information displayed. So that would be
you're
more
done
for
with Ron. Julie?
Not
though?
For Julie. Yeah, not for Julie. Okay. I guess I just want to make sure that I understand that anything posted on our website was at the direction of the county.
What we did was copy the notification that we received from the clerk recorder's office.
Right.
We didn't inform of if there were incumbents or not. That wasn't specified. It was just basically the notification that we received from clerk recorder's office.
Yeah, there was, yeah, lots of confusion about that.
Well, it's confusing to me that I found out I wasn't an incumbent because I thought I was. But, you know, that's
what yeah, it is. Yeah, we've had elections, the missteps before, nothing nefarious, just things yes. happen.
Okay, so let's take
Mr. Predick, President, may I also add not only that the district again copied the language that was provided by the county, which is essentially a copy and paste of the statute. There was no direction to any filers or candidates to do or not do, or that said that you had to file earlier or later. I'll also point out that the county clerk recorder's office provides a list of extended nomination periods that lists those districts that have an extended nomination period, and this district was not listed by the county clerk recorder.
But that was probably after the fact, right? After the deadline would have passed.
No, so I believe that they provide this list right after the close of the first period to notify folks that the extended period is available. So if Los Osos Community Services District had an extended filing period, the district would have been included in this list by
right,
the county.
But there's no way to know that we'd be on the list or not on the list before the deadline had actually passed.
Before the first deadline or the second deadline?
Well, we only had the first deadline.
So there is nothing that would have prohibited an applicant from filing before the first deadline.
Right. That's not what I'm saying.
I think what I understand you saying is that there is no way to have known that the district had an extended filing period if the incumbent failed to file by the first deadline. Is that right? Because of the confusion about whether or not the directors were incumbents.
Close. Yep, close yep. enough. Anyway.
Good enough. District. All right, let's go to public comment on this item, which
you want to continue on with Division 5 or take them? Okay.
Like to make a public comment for District 3 and you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come up to the podium. There's no public comment online.
I've got people in the boardroom.
Good evening. My name is Deborah Howe. I am chair of the Los Osos Community Advisory Council, and I have worked alongside of Tom Cross. He's on my transportation committee. Tom is a collaborative worker, and he's has an expertise in technology that I found to be extremely valuable in my council work. And I think that he would be a very good addition to your board should you decide to go that direction. Thank you.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, a question. If the board were uncomfortable picking from a candidate in either district and weren't able to come to a consensus, then does it go to the board of, obviously it goes to the board of supervisors, and then do they pick from the three, or are you required to submit a candidate in each district? And if you don't, then I take it the board of supervisors would pick from those two candidates. And then if that ends up being the process, does that open it up to additional people coming forward to possibly be added to the list that the soups could pick from?
Yeah, if the board, this is a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors. If the board does not agree with our recommendation, it's wide open to anybody within that district. So they could appoint somebody that did not apply.
So if you don't come up with a consensus today on one of the three candidates in either district, then it's open. It opens the process up again. Is that correct?
No, it doesn't. I'm not sure I understand. This is a recommendation.
I get that. It's a recommendation from this board to the Board of Supervisors, and you hope that they would accept your recommendation.
Or not is up to them. If they do not certify our recommendation, then it's open to anybody within District 3.
Okay, so I guess if all of you on your ballot put none of the above,
then it's up to the board.
Then it's up to the board, and it opens it up to anyone. That was my question.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we're going to take the vote separately here, Ron. That's how I wanted to do it.
Right.
So you guys, here's how we're going to do it. We have written ballots. We're going to go ahead and fill out our ballot. Ron's going to collect them. He's then going to announce who voted for who, and that's it.
Correct.
So if you fill out your ballot and put your name on it.
Your name should be on the top there.
It's already
so
down there.
Just basically go to Division 3, select one, and then I will collect and I'll redistribute them so we can do
this. I could find my ballot one, huh? Oh, I'm not sure.
Here, use this one. Oh, that's working now.
Okay, I'm just going to go through each director's vote. Director Gatchel voted for Mr. Cross, Mr. Forcroy, Mr. Cross, Director Sasania, Director Cross, Vice President Womack, Mr. Cross, and President Ohilski abstains.
Yes, I abstained since it was my successor and I didn't feel. Okay, we're going to go through the same process now with District 5. So we'll go alphabetically on this. So do you have anything to add before we start, Ron?
No.
Okay, Mr. Cheney, you're up first.
Hello, I'm David Cheney. My wife and I moved to Los Osos in 2019, just before the pandemic. I've been interested in water issues for a long time. I've been looking for ways to get involved in the community. I think my background is appropriate for the board. I have a undergraduate degree in earth sciences and engineering experience and taking groundwater hydrology courses and have a long experience working in Washington on public policy issues that involve technology from both regional, state, national, international level. I don't have the experience that a lot of people here have with Los Osos for, you know, many, many years, but I have enough background. I think I can learn the issues very quickly, and I have probably some relatively fresh or unbiased perspective on a lot of the issues. And I think throughout my career, I've had a very strong ability to look at issues from multiple perspectives and understand the variety of points of view that come together on complex issues and figure out ways to come up with solutions that advance things forward. So that's it. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions? Okay.
No.
Thank you. Okay, next up is Mr. Hubbard.
Good evening. My name is Rich Hubbard, and I've been living in this area since 1985, with a year in Avila and a year in Morro Bay interspersed in that. I have obviously seen a lot of changes since 1985 in Los Osos, and I've, you know, pretty much kept track of everything that's been going on. I survived the sewer wars. I've seen a lot of businesses come and go, a lot of people come and go. I admit my political experience is not as extensive as you'd probably like to see, but I have garnered a lot of information over the years, thanks to my wife, who Andrea Luker, who was the city manager of Morro Bay, the harbor director at Port San Luis. Now she's a member of LOCAC. My daughter, Catalina, worked for SLOCOG and now works for Caltrans. Her husband worked for the city of San Luis and now is working for the county. So as you could probably imagine, the conversations at dinner time are pretty lively and pretty extensive. A lot of opinions going on there. But again, I've listened, not really comprehending everything, but I have a pretty good idea of what the people of Los Osos have wanted and do want. And I also think that I have a good feeling about the people that make their decisions in Los Osos, and I would know what to expect from them from those conversations that we've had. So, anyways, that's a brief introduction to myself, and thank you for consideration. Questions? No. Nope.
Any questions?
Thank you.
Mr. McGibney's not here.
He is not, and he is not online.
Okay. Public comment then on the District 5.
If you're online, please raise your hand.
Yep.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. I'd like to speak to the District 5 recommendation. I, again, would support Rich Hubbard and ask that you do. I think Mr. Cheney's qualifications and background are excellent, and I encourage you to stay involved in Los Osos and Los Osos CSD, maybe run next time. And then I had a question about Mr. McGibney's application. He says that his length of residency in Los Osos is 50 plus years. Yet below on question 3, he says he was a board member for the California Valley CSD. And I believe that term was for 4 years. How can you reside in Los Osos for 50 years and serve for 4 of them in California Valley? So, just a question. He's unfortunately not here to answer that. I think I know the answer, but I wouldn't support him as your recommendation.
The applicant's not here. So, any other public comment?
There is none online.
Okay. All right.
Please mark your ballots and I'll collect those once.
Oh, that's right.
Okay, for District 5, Director Sasania, Richard Hubbard. Director Forcroy, Richard Hubbard. Director Gatchell, Richard Hubbard. Vice President Womat, David Cheney. And President Ohilski, Richard Hubbard. So with that, what I would like...
Those motions that you asked for.
The motions to officially make the recommendation that I can include to the county.
Somebody going to make a motion?
I move that Tom Cross be recommended for appointed to the Los Osos Community Service District Board of Directors to the Board of Supervisors for the vacant seat in Division 3. I move that Richard Hubbard be recommended for appointment to the Los Osos Community Service District Board of Directors to the Board of Supervisors for the vacant seat in Division 5.
Okay. Any public comments? Any online, Laura?
There is none online.
Okay, we'll move on then.
Do you need a second?
Yeah, we need a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake.
I'll do that.
There's a second from Mr. Sasania. Okay, now any public comment? Still not in the boardroom.
Still not online.
Okay. All right. So we probably should take a roll call vote.
Go ahead, Laura. Roll call vote, please.
Director Gatchell.
Yes.
Director Sasania.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Vice President Womack.
Yes.
President Ohulski.
Yes. Okay, I want to thank everybody for their efforts, time, and everything.
Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate everybody's interest and efforts in applying and trying to get to be a board member. Your term will start at our December meeting, assuming you're appointed by the board.
Actually, the official start is the Friday after our December
meeting. Oh.
I do have one question. Do we know when this is on the Board of Soup's agenda?
Not sure which November. It's probably the second meeting, but I'll they wanted these recommendations by October 16th. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I'll let you know.
Exactly. Yeah, because this decision has to be made prior to the certification of the election. So we're still on the board for the December meeting.
Yes. Oh. That's our understanding based on.
Okay. Could you double check that? Cause yep.
Inauguration's in January.
Okay. So we'll move on to item 3B, general action item. Approve the release of a request for proposals, RFP, for district general legal counsel services. Approve the release of the RFP and appoint an ad hoc committee to review the proposals. Well, the room's emptying out pretty quick here.
I have a very brief presentation here.
Okay, thank you.
At the September 5th board meeting, the board did direct me to develop a RFP for general legal counsel services. This RFP is consistent with past efforts to secure legal counsel. I would encourage if the board has any edits or comments that we do that at this time. In my research, I did find we actually have a policy on selection of general legal counsel back from 2016. The main ones that we're looking at tonight are the approval of the issuance of the request proposals and the appointment of the ad hoc committee. And then we'll be back to the board by the December meeting to have the board make a decision. So with that, I can answer any questions.
Chuck and I were approving the resolution in 2016. Okay, so does anybody have any questions about this?
I have a question. I have a comment. I'll volunteer myself to be part of the ad hoc committee if so chosen.
Yep. When are the applications due by?
I would have to take a quick look at the
October 29th at 4 p.m.
Yep. Thank you.
That's it.
You know, I wasn't really ready to appoint an ad hoc committee today.
Are we in need of action on this, though? Well, I guess it's our timeline.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is. It's whatever you prefer.
When's our November meeting?
November 7th, I believe.
No, we talk oral interviews. Oh, so that's the board meeting.
And the ad hoc committee wouldn't actually be doing a whole lot until after the 29th, right?
Right. So they'd be doing a lot between the 29th and the 7th.
That's true.
Well, okay, unless anybody else objects, or if anybody objects, I'll just appoint an ad hoc committee of Mr. Floyd Croy and myself.
That makes sense.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
But I think we should appoint the committee and be ready.
Right. I agree. I think we should move forward.
Okay. That's assuming
we get responses to the proposal.
That's a good point.
We didn't approve the motion yet.
We still need to take public comment.
I know that. I'm waiting. So I'm not going to appoint the ad hoc committee until after we approve it. So public comment on this item?
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand. And in the boardroom, please come up to the podium.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker. And it is refreshing to see your board going out for requests for proposals for district council. The question I had, and maybe staff could elaborate, is what is that process? Is it, I'm sure there's a website, and but what I'm curious about is if I can send the public, can they send recommendations for firms that you maybe send the proposal to, the RFP to, so that they're included in the material, they're included and they have the opportunity to send their proposal. And then I just wanted to reiterate that it is refreshing to see this. It is probably time to look at new council. But, you know, just like your auditor and district engineer has been around a long time. So this is healthy to take a look at other options going forward. So, and that I'm totally fine with the ad hoc committee choices.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. Any other public comment? No more in the room, Laura.
There is none online.
Okay, now I'll bring it back to the...
If I could just, real quick, Julie, if you have a suggestion on a law firm, please reach out.
Okay, so can we get a motion here, please? Matthew?
I move the board approve the release of the request for proposal for District General Counsel Legal Services and appoint an ad hoc committee to review the proposals in cooperation with the general manager.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. I'd like to have a roll call again, please.
Vice President Womack.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Sesenya.
Yes.
Director Gatchel.
Yes.
President Ohilski.
Yes. Okay, with that being done, then I will appoint an ad hoc committee of Mr. Forcroy and myself. Does anybody have any comments? Public comment on that? None in the boardroom.
There's none online.
Okay, so that's done deal here. So we'll move on to item number
Mr.
four.
President, can we loop back really quickly to item 3A? I have an answer for you. The Board of Supervisors will be meeting on October 22nd and 29th, which is when they'll likely be considering these appointments that you made recommendations for. And then the term will begin on December 6th, 2024, which is the day after your scheduled meeting, which is December 5th.
Right. Thank you, Daniel, for confirming.
Okay, so we'll go on to item number four, public comment for items not on the agenda.
If you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, come up to the podium.
Nobody's in the boardroom.
There is none online.
Okay, thank you. All right. So next we have administrative and committee reports. First one is utilities report, written only. Does anybody have any questions about that?
Pretty consistent water use. That's good. Not going up.
Okay, general manager's report, written and verbal.
Yes, just a few quick ones here. Of course, we've been talking a lot about the town hall meeting, which is Saturday, October 5th, from 1:30 to 4:30. Agenda for the meeting is out. We have several copies in the back of the room. I gave each of the board members one. Looking for a good turnout.
Would you please clarify, because this does not state where the meeting is to be held.
Oh, it's the Los Osos Middle School.
I want to make sure of that, because I've heard several people look at this and they thought it was somewhere else. And I've seen other notices that do talk about middle school.
Well, on the back of my report is the official or the first announcement, which is it has it listed at 1555 El Moro.
That's right. And that's what I kept hearing. People are like, it's some El Moro something or other.
Yeah.
Something besides the address would have been good. But I mean, there's plenty of time. We'll get people there. I know.
And then I did list, you know, the introduction of the amendments to Title 26 Growth Management Ordinance are on October 8th by the Board of Supervisors. The actual hearing, October 29th, and then tentatively scheduled to go to the Coastal Commission in December. Wanted to provide an update on the solid waste rate application that we received. I've informed you that we've been working on a regional level to try to coordinate all the rate applications that Waste Connections has out there for Mission Country Disposal, San Luis Garbage, and South County Sanitation. We're working to try to get the initial results of that to you at November meeting. At that time, we may need to consider the release of the Prop 218 notice because the schedule is tight to get that adopted in January and the new rate implemented in February. So the consultant will be here at our November 7th meeting to talk through the whole rate setting process and the application. And then finally, I just wanted to recognize Margaret for her celebrating her fourth year of being back. And so we always appreciate Margaret very, we do appreciate Margaret very, very much on her steadying attitude and force within the office. So thank you, Margaret.
For many, many years.
And I can answer any questions on either the utilities report or the general manager's report.
No, none. Okay, the Chamber of Commerce report is a written report only. I didn't see it in the package here, though.
Did that not make it in?
A lot of flyers that come out in their Wednesday blast.
Mm-hmm. What we've been doing is just providing what they send out right before the meeting.
Okay, all right.
And I've asked if there's something significant they'd like to include to get a hold of me. So.
Okay, LOCAC report?
It's pretty good. It was like the most well-attended meeting I've ever been to for LOCAC, mostly because of the people being in favor of supporting the Sunnyside School or the Wishing Well School at Sunnyside, and their ongoing being able to stay there even if change in ownership happens. And the other part I thought was interesting is they talked about the handing out of, I guess, will serves, or like how many people they'd allow to develop and the schedule for that, and how they were going to address the wait list. So they'd give people about a month, like a short period of time, to confirm that they would submit an application for construction permit, and they have 45 days to submit that, or else it starts going down the list. So I think they're going to do batches, and then they do that from January through June, and then in July any unused batches are available to the entire wait list. So it kind of opens up as time goes on if the permits are not used. But I think there's actually very few permits issued per year. So it'd be interesting I kind of don't imagine they would go all the way down the list, but who knows? But anyway, it was a really good meeting. I think they had like 88 people, 73, and
was impressive.
They did a good job.
Thank
and
you.
Everybody was in favor of the school being able to stay.
Great, thank you.
Of course.
Parks and Rec, no meeting, no report. Utility Advisory Committee, verbal report.
I just want to talk on a few things that came out of the, highlight some things in the utility department updates. The program Seawell, it's going to be up and, I mean, serving water by spring. We've got the final permits and approvals, everything.
We're moving.
Yeah.
And we've got PG&E lined up. Supposedly right. Our electrical components that had long That's lead right. times are available. So fingers are crossed.
And today was the proposals for the SCADA system.
That's tomorrow.
Tomorrow. Okay. So we'll know soon if we're moving ahead with that project. I mean, I always want to highlight the projects that we're moving ahead on. More groundwater monitoring wells next year. And then I guess the only thing that I wasn't real happy about is the fact that Habitat Conservation Plan looks like it'll slow down that heavy equipment storage building that we've been talking about forever off of Farrell. But I do want to keep attention to the 8th Street Water Yard office assessment. Somebody's going to be brave enough to go in there and take a good poke around that place and tell us how much duct tape it'll take to fix it or
electrical tape.
Yeah. Both. I think we know what the answers are going to be. But anyway, those are some of the highlights that we talked about.
Okay. Any questions? All right. Finance Advisory Committee, verbal report.
Good meeting. The committee recommended approving the warrant register and receiving and filing the financial reports. And we've got a good group. So. It was a pretty quick meeting.
Since I wasn't there. Any questions of FAC? Okay, ESAC, no meeting, no report. Basin Management Committee, meeting report, verbal report.
Well, basically, the main thing was a presentation by the county, and it was the same, very similar presentation that was at LOCAC that Chris listen to, but it is mainly the fund or the framework for the wait list, as Chris outlined. Good meeting, a lot of questions, but that was the gist of the meeting.
The only thing I would add is the good discussion, I think, with the committee members about the roles of each and particularly now that we're starting to ramp up the engine for permits, is it time to talk about things like are we prepared to dial back? How do we know when to dial back? Just all those, and what's the role of the committee in all of that, those decisions? Some discussion about data that we rely on, water resources are our own. It was a good, healthy discussion. It wasn't really anything on, it just kind of fed off of the whole growth management ordinance presentation.
All right, thank you. Director's announcement of district and community interests and reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Okay, we have none. Response to previously asked questions?
No.
We have none. Okay, so before we move on, does anybody want to pull an item on the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, then we'll take public comment for the administrative reports and the committee reports.
If you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, come to the podium.
I have one person here, Laura.
Perfect. There is none online.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker. And there was some discussion about the town hall meeting and the Board of Supervisors' October 8th introduction to accepting the changes to the LCP. In the staff report for Tuesday, October 8th, it's on the consent calendar. And I encourage you to take a look at that because we were caught by surprise that now the habitat mitigation fee, which was $1.20 a foot, has ballooned to $1.95 a foot. And there's not really much explanation as to why, but you know, we all have affordable housing on our minds. We worry about housing and the ways to keep, you know, your district can't do much about it. The county can only do certain things about it, but keeping utility costs or the cost to build something lower is important. And this is a 75 cents a foot increase, which blows up the just getting in the door on building something. So that's just one example of some things that are different that we hadn't heard before, the Coastal Commission took action. And that does affect what the projects the district has in front of it. So it's alarming to me. And again, I encourage you, if, you know, it's on consent this time, and then on the October later date, they're going to hear the whole thing. But they have to have a certain amount of time for noticing. So if they hear from us now, they can revisit that and maybe shape it to something different before the later October meeting, or maybe push it off another 2 weeks or something. But they don't know unless they hear from us. And that extra 75 cents a foot just adds to the cost of every house, every new house, and that hurts. So, and then if you really want to dig down into how much of the HCP, that money, where it goes, is administration, it'll gross you out. It's absurd, obscene, how much is administration and how little we're going to get for that money.
Thank you. I have no other public comment in the boardroom.
There is none online.
Okay, thank you. Okay. So can we have a motion?
Yes. Well, I move that we receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second. Can I have a roll call, Laura, please?
Yes, Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Gatchel.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Vice President Womack.
Yes.
President Nohelski.
Yes. Okay, item 8, we don't have any pulled the consent items. Number 9, future agenda items.
We have a few coming.
Yeah, keep finding
them. All right, number 10, closing board comments.
I'd like to thank all the people that applied for the CST board. That I mean, we need people, so I'm grateful for everybody that submitted an application.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think maybe after the first of the year, we need to think about moving away from the districting and getting back to an open election. It makes it really hard if you have to narrow.
Can I make a motion? We move away from that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not on the agenda. I'm sorry.
Really, Mr. Brown Act?
Well, and I think we made best efforts to fill those seats, and it was really hard. So,
yes, I appreciate everyone. And hopefully Mr. Cheney and others that weren't selected this time, I was impressed when he came to the Basin Management Committee, the questions and comments. So you were too. So good. It was all good.
Yeah. No, I agree. We should bring that back to the board for discussion.
Yes.
Nothing? Okay. I'm just going to make the chamber comment here. October 27th, Oktoberfest. So it'll be on 2nd Street as to where it usually is, although it's going to be a little different this year. So 9 o'clock is the car show and the fun run. 9 o'clock is also the Kiwanis pancake breakfast. 10 o'clock is the Morro Bay High School cheer squad. And new at 11 a.m., meet the brewers, the winemakers, and the musicians. I don't know what that means.
Is that Troy?
There's way more brewers than just.
Are you going to be there?
Yeah, I'll be there around. Sure. The other beer garden will be pretty full of local breweries like we have in the past.
Mm-hmm. Very fine.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Last few years on the local breweries.
And then there'll be entertainment from 12 to 1:30, 1:30 to That's 2.
What? You've seen his Nacho Libre outfit.
1:30 to 2 is the Pet Kid Adult Costume Contest. And the rest of the day is orchestra, band, and enjoying yourself on 2nd Street. So that's on, again, October 27th. If you want to have more information, you can go to the Chamber website, which is lobpchamber.com. Los Osos Baywood Park. That's what it stands for. All right. With that, then, we will go ahead and adjourn.